We want you to stay. Okay, good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming. I'm a little bit under the weather, so I'm going to try my best to project. And if you don't hear me in the back, just send a signal. Okay, so we're up to the final installment of our series. This one went very quickly. Eish Ruach Afar and Mayim. So we're up to Afar. And again, just by way of review, because I know some people are here for the first time, some people have been here all along, we've been basing ourselves off of the writings, the teachings of Rav Chaim Vital. A little bit the Tanya as well, but it's really rooted in the 1500s. Rav Chaim Vital wrote a magnificent little work called the Shari Kedusha. And in that sefer, he lines up various combinations of four. The four letters of Hashem's name, the four parts of the Bria, in terms of the inanimate objects and plant life and animal life and human beings. And one of the sets of four that he works with is Eish, Ruach, Mayim, and Afar. And again, in source number one, for one last time, it's always good again to see the words of a great tzaddik. The Shari Kedusha writes that man's body is made up of four lower elements, and they are v'guf ha'adam notzar min ha'tov shavar b'yesodos. Man has the potential to be made of the four positive expressions of the elements of Eish, Ruach, Mayim, and Afar: fire, wind, water, and earth. The Tanya at the end of the first parak elaborates on some of the negative aspects of these four yesodos. And again, just to review, to recap our entire series, you can see where it's bolded in source number two, that Eish corresponds to kaas and gaiva, to anger and to haughtiness, to pride. Mayim corresponds to taiva satanugim, which we spoke about last week. V'holulus v'leitzanus v'esparus v'dvarim b'telim yesod haruach. And wind and speech and breath are all connected. A person who's involved in leitzanus, a person who's involved in lashon hara, dvarim b'telim. And last but not least, in the Tanya's list, and as well as Rav Chaim Vital as well, puts last on the list afar: dirt, earth. And what does earth correspond to? He says, or it's bolded at the end of source number two, and underlined, va'atzlus va'atzvus miyasod ha'afar. Laziness, being lethargic. Atzvus, being sad, melancholy. Not having any drive to try to achieve anything in this world. Again, the very simple mushel of a clump of earth, of dirt, afar, that sits in its place and doesn't accomplish very much. Right? That it's low to the ground. That represents within the emotions of man sadness, laziness, again that lack of drive, lack of motivation. And again, of course, we want to try to explore it both in terms of the negative side, but even more so on the positive side, to try to understand what do we learn from this, because there's a part of us that's made up of afar. There's a part of all of reality that is made up of afar. We need to understand how we try to reverse, so to speak, that natural gravitational pull to be sad, to always see the negative, to always be pessimistic as opposed to optimistic, right? To have an atiyah towards laziness, where my body gets the better, and the neshama is silenced, and the neshama is not able to express itself. So again, we turn to our Rebbe, Rav Chaim Vital, in source number three, and he tells us a little bit about the negative side, and he tells us a little bit more about the positive side. What's the negative side? And again, it's related, you'll see how it's related to some of the other things, the other topics we've discussed. He writes in source number three in the Shari Kedusha, Yesod ha'afar, mimenu midas ha'atzvus, b'chol pratav. Atzvus, sadness, in all of its dimensions, depression, in all of its dimensions, is rooted in that world of afar, of dirt, of earth. V'toldosea achas, and there's one primary subcategory, v'hu ha'atzlus, l'kayim ha'torah v'amitzos mimnei itzvono, al asagas kinyanei hevli olam hazeh. Look how he bridges things we've discussed in previous weeks and this week. Why is a person lazy? Why is this person sad? Again, he's saying this laziness, this lack of drive, this sort of this surrender to the difficulties of life, comes from a certain sadness. So what is that sadness? That laziness, he says, in fulfilling mitzvos comes from a sadness when a person feels, I don't have the pleasures of this world. Hasagas kinyane hevle olam haza. Again, related to what we spoke about in some of the previous shiurim, where a person gets caught up in chasing pleasures, or a person wants to live a carefree lifestyle, a person doesn't want to work on himself. Afar, in a certain sense, and we'll see this to be true, even Kabbalistically, seems to be, of the four yesodos, seems to be the one that's most all-encompassing. And we'll see why that is. person was created from Afar. Man was created from Afar, and man will return to Afar at the end of his life. So in a certain sense, it's the all-encompassing Midah, and therefore it touches on some of the other mitos. So a person who's sad, a person who's depressed, a person who feels like, what's the point of trying, because I'm never going to get everything that I want anyways out of this world, and takes on that type of negative attitude, such a person, says Rav Chaim Vital, where it's bolded, Eino sameach b'chelko b'shum davar. He's never satisfied. He's never happy. He has no desire to achieve anything, because he feels that, it's not going to happen anyways. He becomes depressed, he becomes sad, he becomes lazy. What's the flip side? What's the flip side of this? Now, of course, I want to just be careful. I want to say one thing, just by way of hakdama. The fact that we're going to link laziness with sadness or depression doesn't mean that a person who's depressed is by definition lazy. God forbid. Depression is an illness and it needs to be treated medically, right? But sometimes a person is just lazy and they're not really depressed. They could conquer it on their own. Sometimes not. Sometimes it's something more of a more intense emotional disorder or illness that needs to be treated properly. So God forbid to say to a person who's truly depressed, stop being so lazy. It doesn't work like that. They cannot get out of bed, and there's a reason for that. But again, I just want to put that out there by way of Akdama, not to show, God forbid, any insensitivity to that reality. Okay, now says Rav Chaim Vital, again, continuing where it's bolded in source number 3, each of the Midos have a positive side. As we learned, the positive side, obviously, of pride, of being angry, is to be humble. Is to talk gently to people. We learned that the opposite of a person who's speaking Lashon Hara, a person who's wasting his words, Dvarim B'Tehillim, is Shtika, is to turn inward and to be silent. And of course, to use one's words in a positive way. We also learned the opposite of Mayim, which represents Tainug, pursuit of pleasure. What Rav Moshe Feinstein said last week, the illness of American culture, we're always pursuing a good time. Right? The opposite of that, of course, number 3, is Hamius Bechol Tanugei Aguf U'Mosrav HaMuchrachim. To try to reject things that I perceive to be necessary, and certainly not to spend my life chasing things that are not necessary. What's the flip side? And again, the timing to me is always so remarkable. What's the flip side of Afar, of sadness, of laziness, of depression, of being not motivated to move quickly and to try to seize the day, so to speak? Simcha. Mishenichnas Adar Marim B'Simcha. How timely. Mishenichnas Adar Marim B'Simcha, says Rav Chaim Vital in source number 3, where it's bolded by the 4, right, by the number 4. V'asimcha hatediris b'chelko. A person who says, I have it great, I have so much in my life. I'm so happy with everything I have. Beruchnias, begashmias. I like the soul that God gave me. I like the house that God has allowed me to afford, even though someone might have a bigger house, someone might have a smaller house. I'm happy with what I have. Ki kol da'avdin min shmai letav. When I come to the realization that everything Hashem does is good. Vegam lezariz atzmon. And that injects a new breath of life into one's existence. I can move more quickly, I'm more upbeat about everything. B'tachles asimcha ba'avodas kono. And he quotes several psukim, the pasuk in Tehillim, Sos anochi alim rasecha kamotzei shal arav. Hashem, I rejoice over Imrasecha, could be your decrees, could be your mitzvos, however you want to interpret it. But I feel thrilled to be alive, Hashem. I feel energized. I'm so thankful for all that I have. A person who says, I don't need more and more of Olam Hazeh. I want to get to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's something that I can choose, and nothing can stop me from attaining that. I don't need a X number of dollars in my bank account to buy a relationship with God. A person who's sameach b'chelko all the time, a person who always tries to see things in a positive way, that's how you shake off, so to speak, the dirt. Isnari me'afar kumi, like we say in Kabbalah Shabbos. To lift ourselves up and to live lives that are more driven and more motivated and more connected to HaKadosh Baruch. Now, in the 4th source, which is a little bit later in the Shari Kedusha, in the Sefer, there are parts of the Sefer that are very, very practical. There are parts that are very Kabbalistic and completely over my head. But in the Shari Kedusha, in Chelek Shlishi, he talks about Afar, and he describes Afar again, as I mentioned before, as the all-encompassing Yesod. And he describes, again, I'm going to try to explain it just very quickly, because that's really all I understand, the language that he's using Kabbalistically. He says in source number 4, that the Arba Yesodos Eish Ruach Mayim and Afar, Sheba'olam HaShafel. Again, each of these things correspond to some type of loftier spiritual expression of God. As they descend into this world, it becomes physical fire. It becomes wind. It becomes earth. It becomes water. But each of them have a spiritual shoresh, a higher root. In their higher roots, they're rooted in what we would call the spheros. What are the spheros? Spheros are different expressions of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. as he's interacting with the world. Right? There are spheros that correspond to intellectual attributes, spheros that correspond to emotional attributes. And he writes here in source number 4, take a look at the end of the first line, Chachma Bina Vishesh Kitzvos HaTiferes V'Hamalchus. What does that mean? The top of the spheros is called Keser, the crown. Again, if you understand a little bit, then that's also great, because that's all I understand too. So there's the crown, right? That's the highest point of the spheros. Then there's Chachma and Bina. Different degrees of understanding. Chachma is the beginning of the understanding of an idea. Bina is the expansion, a more mature understanding of an idea. And then, after you go from Keser, Chachma and Bina, you have the lower 7 emotional attributes corresponding to the 7 Ushpizin, corresponding to the 7 weeks of Sfiras HaOmer, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchus. So what he's telling us here is that those 10 can be broken up into 4 categories. What does that mean? Chachma, Bina, the next 6, and then Malchus at the bottom. That corresponds to the 4 letters of Hashem's name. That corresponds to any combination of 4s. So for example, the Yud of Hashem's name is Chachma. The He of Hashem's name is Bina. The Vav represents, Vav is 6, represents the next 6. And the final He of Hashem's name is Malchus. Again, these are deep things and really beyond the scope of what we're trying to explain today. But, look what he writes. He says, if that's true, then Afar, what we're discussing tonight, dirt, earth, so to speak, the lowest of the Yesodos, the one that descends to the lowest, takes on the most physical form of the 4 Yesodos. Fire has a very spiritual quality to it, so does wind. Water as well seems to be even more elevated than a clod of dirt. Afar is the lowest. Afar is Malchus. Afar is Hashem, so to speak, touching down and creating a physical world. A world made out of earth, creating a man, creating each one of us, that Adam was taken from the dirt, from the earth. So he writes at the end of source number 4, the last line, second to last line, "Uvizeh yisod ha'afar nimtu kol ha'toldos, sheba klula mikol ha'ar b'yisodos ha'niskar." That earth, that afar, somehow encompasses all of the various midos we've discussed until now. B'yisod, and this is hinted to in the Pasuk in Koheles, ha'kol ha'ya min ha'afar. That everything, everything comes from Afar. And that's why, again, when we study this Midah, we get a little bit of some of the other Midahs. We get a little bit of, I don't have to be motivated, because I don't need to work on myself. That's a taste of Gaiva. It has a little bit of desire mixed into it. Right? It has a little bit of late sunnis mixed into it. Again, Afar is this all-encompassing Midah. So I want to try to just, very simply, to explain this Midah tonight, from where we're coming from and where we're going to. We're coming out of Mitzrayim, that's what we've been working on in all these parshios, and we're heading into Chodesh Adar, which is certainly a time of Simcha, and a very fitting time to explore this Midah. Let's go back to Mitzrayim. Because Mitzrayim was Afar. What do I mean Mitzrayim was Afar? Again, what did Rav Chaim Vital say that Afar corresponds to? Sadness and laziness. Atzvus and Atzlus. Where do we see that in our experience in Mitzrayim? I think it's very clear. Take a look. Vayimaru eschayeh. Mitzrayim, the Jews were so depressed in Mitzrayim. The Jews couldn't talk. The Jews couldn't cry. The Jews were so broken that they couldn't even hope. Moshe Rabbeinu comes and says, I'm going to get you out of here. And they're not ready to hear that. There's a kotzer ruach. There's a lack of life. There's a lack of energy. They're sad. They're terribly depressed. And they're living bitter, bitter, bitter lives in Mitzrayim. Says the Pasuk at the beginning of Shemos in source number 5, Vayimaru es chayehem. The Egyptians made our lives bitter. We were miserable people. We were broken, broken people. There was no life in us. Vayimaru es chayehem. The Sfarim explained in a very sad way. There's a sefer called Kli Chemda. There's many Sfarim called Kli Chemda. One such sefer called Kli Chemda is written by a Jew by the name of Rav Shmuel Laniado. Rav Shmuel Laniado writes in his Kli Chemda, then what does it mean, Vayimaru es chayehem? Vayimaru es chayehem. Where do we see the word mar in Tanakh? In what context is mar, bitterness, used in Tanakh? So he quotes a few psukim. For example, in Shmuel Aleph, the pasuk says, Achein sar mar hamavis. The bitterness of death, right, was upon me. Death is associated with something being very bitter. How about in Amos, in the 8th parak? V'achrisa, you don't have these psukim in front of you, V'achrisa kiyomar. The last day of one's life, the end, is kiyomar, like the bitter day. That's a very bitter moment when a person has to give back his soul, that his life is over. And he or she is reflecting on everything he achieved, everything he or she didn't achieve. So listen to how the Kli Chemda reads this pasuk. It's so sad. As if the words themselves aren't sad enough. Vayumaru es chayehem. They were so depressed, they were so bitter, that chayehem, that their lives themselves were what? Were mar, were death. Mar is associated with death. Those psukim that we just read. Achein sar mar hamaves. Vachrisa kiyomar. Vayumaru es chayehem. They made them what? Walking dead. They were dead while they were alive. That's what the Jews were like in Mitzrayim. Completely depressed, completely lifeless, like Afar, mamish like Afar. And that's what they did. They were building, B'chomer, L'veinim, right? Open up the Gadi Palik Haggadah and see that picture of that woman standing literally in the dirt, right? And the Midrashim described the women would become pregnant in Mitzrayim, they'd give birth right into the mud, right into the earth, right into the mortar. Children would be put into bricks. Rahman al-Utslan. The Jews were mamish in the dirt. Mamish in the dirt. The 49th level of Tumah, buried very, very deep in the dirt. No hope, a total lack of willingness to be able to even dream of lifting themselves up. It's nari me'afar kumi, to lift oneself up. Sadness. What about laziness? So it's very interesting. When Moshe and Aaron come to Paro, and they say, we have a message for you from God. These Jews are getting out of here. These Jews are not going to sink into the dirt forever. They're going to lift themselves up, and they're going to have the most joyous day of their lives standing at Kabbalah Satorah to receive the word of God. And Paro says, what? You think you could shake off this sadness? You must be lazy. Look what the pasuk says, source number 6. Moshe and Aaron say to Paro, the Jews need to go, a message from God. And Paro says, what are you talking about? He turns to the taskmasters and he says to them, Lo so si fun la seis tevin la'am, stop giving them the straw. Lil bon alavinim kitmol shilshim, to be able to make the bricks. Heim yelchu vekoshishu lam tevin, let them gather their own straw. Maskones alavinim asher heim osim kitmol shilshim, and the expectation of how many bricks they're going to make, tasimu alayim should be maintained upon them. Lo sigru mimenu, don't detract anything. Make them work harder. Make them work harder. Why? Look at the next three words. Ki nirpim heim. Paro says because these Jews are lazy. Paro is trying to show us, and again he's expressing this relationship between sadness and laziness, between atzlus and atzlus. Paro thinks if the Jews are starting to get happy, so I have to convince them that they're lazy. Because if I can convince them that they're lazy, then they're going to get sad again. And then vayimaros chayayim. And then they're basically dead, and then they can't even hope. They can't even hope to come alive. To mekabel the Torah. Kiyem chayenu varechemenu. This was the technique that Paro used to trap us in Mitzrayim. Making us bitter, making us sad, making us lazy. And that's all Afar. That's all the world of Afar. Now very recently, again, Bashkacha Pratis, I came across a fascinating source. It's a little bit long. I wanted to show you a couple selections from it. It's from a sefer called the Chomas Ariel. It's in source number 7. It was written by a Jew by the name of Aryeh Leib from Landshut. Landshut is in southeastern Poland. He was a Hasidish Rebbe of sorts. And in Parshas B'Shalach, a couple weeks ago, he talks about Mitzrayim as being the place of Afar. So interesting. Again, the place that made us sad, Paro, at that moment we started to escape, accuses us of being lazy. Mitzrayim is a place of Afar. He writes in the left column, we'll start in the left column for a moment. Again, it's a long piece, but count 8 lines down in the left column. And he says that we know that Paro is referred to in Tanakh as the Tanin HaGadol, the big snake. That means Paro, so to speak, in his time was the Nachash. The Nachash, right? If you see pictures sometimes of relics from ancient Egypt, right? You picture the pharaoh with that, you know, that headdress that he wears with the picture of the snake on it. Paro was the Tanin HaGadol. Paro was the big snake. Paro was the Nachash. And we know what the Nachash did to Adam and Chava. But we also know what the punishment of the Nachash was. How does the Nachash sustain himself? Take a look, 8 lines down in the left column of source number 7. He says, Paro is the Tanin HaGadol. Uksiv v'nachash afar lachmo. What does the snake eat? The snake eats dirt. The snake sustains itself from dirt. Now that was partially the punishment of the snake, but it's also a midah keneged midah. To say that, so to speak, this is your sustenance. This is who you are. This is what you feed off of, Yetzer Hara, Nachash, Paro, again in the various forms in which it expresses itself. And therefore he points out, Lachain Paro behipuch osvan ha'afar. The letters of Paro are the same letters as ha'afar, the one who is the embodiment of everything that is afar. Ve'ein ruach ha'kodesh shora mitoch atzvos. And therefore when Yosef is sold to Mitzrayim, when the beloved Yosef finds himself in Mitzrayim, Yaakov is in a state of terrible atzvos. Yaakov is terribly sad. Yaakov doesn't have ruach ha'kodesh for those 22 years. Lachain chaf beis shanim, shenistah like Yosef miYaakov, v'haya ba'atzvos. Those 22 years, that Yaakov was so sad, lohay ruach ha'kodesh shor alav. V'savar Yaakov, ma yoel lisa liyayitz liYosef. Sof, ein ashchina shora. He looks up and he's trying to... Why? The question that all the Rishonim even ask, why didn't Yaakov contact Yosef all those years? Did he know Yosef was alive? Did he not know Yosef was alive? But at the end of the day, when Yosef finds himself in Mitzrayim, and Yaakov is sitting depressed at home, right? And Yosef's, you know, languishing in a dungeon in the house of Potiphar, there's a total disconnect. There's sadness. There's a feeling of just being stuck in one's place, right? And there's a total lack of Ruach HaKodesh. There's a lack of clarity. And we're trapped in that world of Mitzrayim, the Meitzar. Again, when a person who's depressed or lazy feels like, I can't do anything. That's what Mitzrayim was. Klal Yisrael were utterly trapped in Mitzrayim. But it was part of a process of refinement of the Jewish people. We were undergoing a process that through Paro, Osios, Ha'afar, Klal Yisrael would eventually emerge, strengthened, happy, energized, and they would go to be Mekabel the Torah. Just take a look at the right-hand side for a moment, just show you very, very quickly. On the right-hand side, again, it's a beautiful source, but I want to make sure we get to Purim as well. But if you look in the right column, again, of source number 7, in the first line, he writes in the middle of the line, Ukimo shekodem brias olam ha'aretz haisa tohu vavohu. Just as before creation of the world was what? Tohu vavohu. The world was kind of stuck. There was tohu vavohu, nothingness. Right? That's kind of what Afa represents. A total void. Totally stuck in one's place. Kein Yisrael, shenikru eretz chayfetz, the Jewish people, which are the world in its refined state, hayatov vavohu b'mitzrayim. Just like the world had to go through tohu vavohu before it achieved its purpose, the Jewish people had to undergo an experience of tohu vavohu before they achieved their purpose. Mitzrayim was our tohu vavohu, says the Lanzarov. And he says, very interesting, how many years were we in Mitzrayim? Well, we know 210, but the Torah also talks about the number 430. 430 you'll be in a foreign land. And again, we have to figure out how we calculate 430. When do we start counting from? So I count even the Brisbane of Basarim. But he says in the third line, Lachain Hayu Tof Lamid Shanim Begolas Mitzrayim, 430 years in Mitzrayim, Kaminyan Tohu plus Bohu. The gematria of Tohu plus Bohu is 430. So the Jewish people were stuck in Mitzrayim for 430 years. Tohu Vavohu, nothingness. Like Nebuch, the person who's lazy or depressed, who's stuck in bed and can't do anything. Literally cannot do anything. An utter, complete sadness. Right? A person who's dead, v'yamaru eschayehem, where the person can't do anything. V'yinei amru chazal, on the pasuk, sas anochi alim rasecha, zemila. He says that Paro, we know, and Mitzrayim is ervas haaretz. It was a place of immorality. And again, sometimes when a person gets involved in all sorts of immoral behavior, they get really stuck in the dirt. That's certainly true. But there's a simcha that comes from mila. The pasuk says in Tehillim, "Sos anochi al imrosecha kimotzei shalal rav." Have we seen that pasuk tonight? We did. Rav Chaim Vital quoted that pasuk. "Sos anochi al imrosecha kimotzei shalal rav." Says the Medrash, "Zo mila." The celebration of a bris mila. What's the celebration of a bris mila? "Dechol zman sha'ar lachofef al basar kodesh efshar lismoach." Because as long as there is Arla, now Arla doesn't have to only be translated in a literal sense, we're talking about it as a concept. But I'm merely talking about the removal of the foreskin on the eighth day of the child's life. But we're talking whenever a person has something that's covering over his existence. The same way the Jews were trapped in Mitzrayim. We were totally in a Meitzar. Meitzar means a boundary. We were trapped. The true Klal Yisrael couldn't emerge from that place. Ki ba'adam dalid yesodos, u'kenegdam dalid maros. A person is made up of four yesodos, corresponding to the four, again, bios within man, which correspond to the emotions. Umara shchora, and black bile, which always represents sadness. Ba miyaskabris yesod ha'afar, kenoda bisvarim. V'ineis gabris yisoda ofer ba mea arla. Shudugmas ha-nachash. He's hinting to a lot of different things. Again, I'm sharing it with those who are more familiar with Hasidic works and understand what he's hinting to. But again, he's saying if you go back to the beginning of time, the Nachash was holding Adam and Chava back from achieving their purpose. In Mitzrayim, the Jewish people are being held back from achieving his purpose. Before the world could exist, there's a tohu vavohu that covers over the world, that holds the world back from achieving its purpose. And again, the Nachash offer lach loik, what's the pasuk again? That the Nachash, and again, the Nachash is just a code word for all evil. Afar lachmo sustains itself off of afar. That it tries to make us lazy, it tries to make us sad, it tries to tell us, you've been languishing in Galus for the last 2,000 years, you really believe in Mashiach? That nachash, that yetzahara, amalek, paro, it's all the same. It's that feeling that I'm stuck. It's that feeling that I'm losing hope, that I'll never change my situation. And therefore, when a person feels stuck, right, there's a lack of simcha. And that's the simcha. The Gemara says that a bris milah was one of the mitzvahs the Jewish people were makabel b'simcha. Because there's a certain simcha when I free myself. When that child is free, when the arla is removed, whenever that blockage is removed and unearthed, right? When something is freed from captivity, then there's an ability to be b'simcha. And he goes on and he expounds upon this concept of what it means, again, to emerge from that sadness, to cast off, so to speak, the tohu, the vohu, the choshech, al pnei sahom, as the psukim describe at the very beginning of Bereishis. He says another nice remez, he says, mara shchora, which again, black bile, corresponding to the sadness, corresponding to the afar. He says, mara shchora is gematria, tohu plus bohu plus choshech. Because again, when I'm living a life of tohu, bohu, choshech, emptiness, I feel stuck. There's no simcha in my life. And again, part of leaving Mitzrayim is really coming out of that captivity and being able to smile once again. Being able to feel energized once again. They worked hard in Mitzrayim. They were working. But they were dead. So now we leave Mitzrayim and we head to Purim. And it's not by chance that as we finish the parshios of leaving Mitzrayim, now we begin to enter into the Zman of Chodesh Adar. There's a very strong connection between the two. There's a very strong. And it's what we just saw hinted to in the Chomas Aryeh. Right? These are parshios, the days of Shovavim, the days of Shovavim, which we're concluding this Shabbos, Shemos Va'era Bo B'Shalach Yisrael Mishpatim, spells out Shovavim, a time where Klal Yisrael works on trying to sanctify themselves and to conquer certain Yetzer Haras, again, particularly with regard to Pagam HaBris. But now when we come out from there, when we free ourselves from that captivity, we're filled with Simcha. The Jewish people are filled with Simcha. So now we come, of course, to the famous Maamar Chazal in source number 8, that Mishenichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha. When Adar arrives, we're filled with joy. Again, Simcha is the response to Afar. Simcha is the response to what? To Atzvos and to Atzlas. So just to get everyone to smile because it's late and I see people are getting a little tired, I'll tell you a cute little story. Mishnichlas Adar Marbin B'Simcha. L'chavid, Rosh Chodesh is Sunday and Monday, so I'll tell you a cute little story. True story. Usually you say a true story, but it's not a true story, but this is actually a true story. Okay, a true story. There was a Jew in Florida who was undergoing treatments, Rachmana Litzlan, for a difficult illness. He was in Jackson Memorial Hospital in Florida. And he finds himself in his room one day, and he's, you know, lost in his thoughts. And all of a sudden, one of the nurses walks into the room, and she says to him, you know, be positive. So he's thinking to himself, the chutzpah. She's telling me, I'm sitting here in the hospital undergoing treatment. You know how hard it is for me to just smile at my family, to mechazik, my parents who are worried about me, right? My spouse, my children. So many people are concerned that I'm trying to. But she comes in and tells me, no, you need to be optimistic. You need to be positive. So he's thinking about it. He says, you know what? I'm gonna say something to her. Like, it's totally inappropriate for her to tell me how I should feel. Different people go through their illnesses. Some people are very optimistic. Some people are very depressed. Who is she to walk in and to tell me how to feel? So he starts giving it to her. He starts saying to her, you know, like, it's really not right for you to tell me how to feel. I'm going through a lot. And who are you? You can't understand what I'm going through. So she says, whoa, take it easy. She says, when I was in your room a half hour ago drawing your blood, you asked me to inform you what your blood type is. So I'm back to tell you, your blood type is B positive. B positive. She's like, oh, sorry. No, B positive. It's a true story. B positive. Person has to be positive. Mishnechlas Adar Marbin B'Simcha. So as Jews, we have to be positive. We have to be optimistic. There's a lot of offer in the world. There's a lot to be sad about. We're living in a world where laziness is very in style. The faster, the easier, the less I have to do, the more it can be delivered straight to my doorstep, the better. But that's offer. And that's offer, which is the all-encompassing, as the Shari Kedusha told us, it's the all-encompassing yesod. The same way that this final gullus is all-encompassing, of all of the gullios. Right? And that's why these things are happening in our world today. So what exactly is the Simcha of Adar? And I want to connect to Parsha Shkalim, and I think we'll see something very beautiful. Rashi tells us, Mishenichlas Adar Mar B'Simcha, what are we so happy about? Rashi says in source number 9, that Mishenichlas Adar, we're entering into a wonderful tekufa, a wonderful stretch of the calendar here. Yimei Nisim Hayu LiYisrael, Purim UPesach. We're about to begin. It's interesting. Mishenichlas Adar, we're thinking about Purim and Pesach. Yes, a period of miracles. Purim and Adar, unbelievable miracles. Pesach and Nisan, unbelievable miracles. What's strange is, neither of those are Mishenichlas Adar. What happens when Adar starts? What do we sell? What's the simcha that comes from day one of Adar? Monday is day one of Adar. We got 2 weeks till Purim. We've got many more weeks till Pesach. So what's the simcha mishnechtas Adar? Rashi's hard to understand. If you look in the writings of the Sfas Emes on Shas, over there in Maseches Tanis, the Sfas Emes says, I think I have a different approach. And the Sfas Emes writes as follows. He quotes Rashi, and then he says, I think perhaps you could say the following, the middle of the second line. V'yosir nira miha detali lei ba'av mishum sheba'adar hayekiyum ha'karbanos v'amikdash. What's the Maimer Chazal in source number 8? Just like the month of Av is a time for less simcha, so too Adar is a time for more simcha. What's the connection between Av and Adar? Beyond the obvious that one is happy and one is sad. Is there an inherent connection? What do we think about when we think about Chodesh Av? Korban Beis HaMikdash. So what do we think about an Adar? Does Adar, Mishenichlas Adar, does that have anything to do with the Beis HaMikdash? Says the Sfas Emes, actually yes. Why? Because in Adar, we have what he says at the end of the second line, Kiyum HaKarbanos VaMikdash. We have that which will ensure that Karbanos and the Beis HaMikdash will go on. Really? How do you see that in Adar? He writes in the third line where it's bolded, Deba Adar Zman Shkalim. This job is Parsha Shkalim. What happens on the first day of Av? Take a look for a second. First day of Adar. Take a look in source number 11 for 1 second. The opening mission of Maseches Shkalim, Be'echad Be'adar, Mashmien Al HaShkalim. That on the first day of Adar, they start to announce, everyone should bring their Shkalim. Everyone bring your half shekel to the Beis HaMikdash. Why are you bringing a half shekel to the Beis HaMikdash? To pay for the Karbanos. To make sure that we can pay for the temple upkeep. So we see that the month of Adar actually does parallel very nicely the month of Av. Av is a time of Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Adar is a time of what? Of sustaining the Beis HaMikdash, of Karbanos, of collecting the Shkolim from the first day of Adar. Back to the Sfas Emes in source number 10. And therefore, in the third line, Diba Adar Zman Shkolim Lechadish V'Nisan HaTrumah Chadasha. We collect the money in Adar so that when Nisan comes, we'll be able to start paying for things in the new year with the funds that we collected at the end of the year in Adar. V'nadru b'nei Yisrael b'simcha, says the Sfas Emes, you know what the simcha of Adar is? Traditionally, the Jewish people were overjoyed to give their shkalim. We know that they generated, they donated, right, the shkalim with great simcha. V'nadru b'nei Yisrael b'simcha shiklei HaKodesh. U'kumavur kam apam b'pasuk, kishis nadru b'nei Yisrael l'mikdash hayasimcha gedola ba'olam. As is hinted to in many ways from the different psukim, the midrashim, that when the shkalim were given, it was a joyous time. V'keiv and shekiblu aleim b'simcha nidavas halishcha, or nidvas halishcha, adayin ha-simcha nimtza ba'adar. Just like traditionally, the Jews came so excited to sustain the Beis HaMikdash by dropping off their half shekel in the month of Adar, so therefore Adar forever has been marked as a time of great joy. Yes?
Why can't you say, especially in Zman, don't bring shkolim, it doesn't come to mind to most people that, oh, unless you're learning
right.
Certain receptors that first of all, there's a time to bring shkolim. Why isn't it the anticipation? Oh, you're in that month. It's like your school students start June, so, you're on the way out.
Right.
So, isn't it the anticipation and knowledge?
So there's that theme of that anticipation is very much connected to the Simcha of Adar. They do talk about that. You're saying the anticipation of once again bringing the Shkolim. Is that what you're saying?
No,
that's not what you're saying.
Purim is coming, salvation is coming, just like Rosh Chodesh Nisan.
So you're saying it's a, okay. So that's more like Rashi. That's more in line with the Rashi. That it's a Zman historically of Geula, and then there's the anticipation that starts from right when you're getting close to the time of Geula, so there's already an anticipation. For sure you could count from the beginning of Adar in that way. Absolutely. But I want to try, let's think about the half shekel for a second. They gave the half shekel and it's an unbelievable simcha. So I think you could learn it one of two ways. What's the simcha of giving a half shekel? Why, when Adar arrives, you need to increase the simcha? Is it just that historically they increased the simcha? They loved giving shekelim? There's something very sad about a half shekel. And maybe we're trying to counter that with the simcha of Adar. What do I mean by something sad about a half shekel? Whenever you have something that's not whole, there's a certain sadness that comes along with it. The Maharal in many places, one example that he brings in the Chedushei Agados in Maseches Yevamos in source number 12. The Gemara in Yevamos says something, and again, this is certainly something that people, unfortunately, who have not yet met their significant other feel in a very real way, and I'm not trying to be insensitive for those who are looking for Shidduchim, but this is a very powerful example, what the Maharal says. The Gemara in Yevamos says that a person at all, he meets his spouse, right? It speaks from the language of the man's perspective, but I'm sure it's equally true from the woman's perspective. A person who does not yet have one spouse is sharoi below simcha, has a life that lacks joy. Why is that so? You meet single people who are very happy, but why do Chazal see that inherently a person who's not married cannot be fully happy? Says the Maharal of Prague in source number 12, Perish, kol simcha hu mipnei hashlemus. Because simcha comes about when a person feels wholesome. Whenever there's something shalem, a person's happy. When I feel like I'm missing things, then I become sad. Ki kasher echad b'shlemes azba ha-simcha. Ve'ein adam b'shlemes kasher ein lo isha. When a man has yet to find his wife, and a wife has yet to find her husband, when you're only half a soul, you're half a shekel. The Sfarim point out that shekel is gematria nefesh, so a half a shekel is literally a half a soul. So when a person has yet to find the other half of one soulmate, so a person can't be happy. Because simcha is generated by shleimus. So let's take the negative approach for a second. The Jews are bringing their shkalim, but when they're being osek in half shkalim, when you're osek in something that's by definition a half, there's a certain sadness. It's a reminder of all the things in my life that are not yet whole. And therefore, maybe to counter that, to balance that out, Mishenichlas Adar, you're thinking about the shekel might make you depressed, so to counter that, Marbim B'Simcha, try to increase the joy, so that you're able to push back a little bit. But I think it's not just a cute little drasha, because I think that's really what's happening in Chodesh Adar. Chodesh Adar went from being a scary, sad, depressing time, maybe more so than ever in Jewish history, to becoming the greatest source of joy, complete transformation, bina hafachu. From feeling that we had no control over our situation, we were completely stuck, Klal Yisrael was very depressed, Klal Yisrael was trapped in their situation, to being able to what? To being able to come whole again. And Haman is noticing this. Haman says about Klal Yisrael, Tachashverosh, forget these Jews. These Jews are nothing but trouble. They're mifuzar u'mifurad, they're scattered. They're not wholesome. They're not complete. And therefore, don't waste your time with them. And as Haman and Achashverosh sit down at the end of the third parak to have a glass of wine, it says that the city of Shushan, Vayir Shushan Navocha, that Shushan is terribly depressed. Parak Dalet of Megillas Esther opens up, Mordechai is dressed, not for Purim, he's dressed for what? For Chodesh Av. He's dressed for Tisha B'Av. He's wearing sackcloth. He's covered in ashes. It's a very sad time. It feels a lot more like Av. The tone and tenor of the Megillah at the end of Parak Gimel, the beginning of Parak Dalet, is a lot more like Av and a lot less like Adar. And it's because Haman says these Jews, they're broken apart. They're mifuzar mifurad. They're not wholesome. And Haman goes so far as to say, if that's really true, if the Jews are sad, well then guess what? Then maybe I'll be happy. And that's why we find in the fifth parak of the Megillah something that the Kedushas Levi wonders how it could even be. To say about such a Rasha that he achieved the state of Sameach V'Tov Lev, it must be that Klal Yisrael are in a really bad place. To think that such a Rasha could think that he's got it, it's all, his evil plot is basically carried out before it even happens. But then the story starts to turn. And things start to pick up again. So suddenly there's this new energy in the Megillah. And in the sixth paragraph, Vahama nidchaf el beso avel v'chafoy rosh. All of a sudden the wheels turns. And Haman's the one who's now mourning. And Klal Yisrael is starting to gain a little bit of speed. And things are moving quickly. They run to get Mordechai. And then they run to get Haman to hang him on the gallows. Right? That zrizus, that energy that's coming back as we shake off that dirt. As we get back to Simcha. As we become Shalim again. Amalek tries to chop everything into half. Amalek tries to cause us to be to lack Simcha by lacking Shleimus. That's why, what does Amalek do to Hashem's throne? The famous Rashi in Source 13 at the end of B'Shalach. The Pasuk in Chumash says, Ki yad al kes ka. Amalek has a hand on the case, chaf samach. It's like a shortened version of the word kisei, and ka, yod hey. What about the rest of Hashem's name? Where's the vav hey? Why is everything broken in half? The answer is because Amalek understands that when Klal Yisrael is broken in half, when Klal Yisrael is just a half a shekel in a negative sense, a person becomes depressed. A person's half a person. A person is shari below simcha. And therefore the victory over Amalek is what? As Rashi says in Source 13, Nishba Kadosh Baruch Hu is bolded, She'ein Shemo Shalim, Ve'ein Kiso Shalim, Ad She'imcha Shemo Shel Amalek. That until we destroy Amalek, Hashem's throne is only half a throne. And Hashem's name is only half a name. And the simcha with which Hashem wants to express Himself in the world is nowhere to be found. And the world feels stuck in gullus. But the victory of Purim is getting back that simcha. And part of what we're doing with the half shekel is telling to Haman, because Haman at one point realizes that what? Haman says, your shkalim, your little shkalim are going to conquer. Your shkalim are going to conquer all of my plans. Haman starts to realize that there's another way to look at a half shekel. You can look at a half shekel as something that's lacking wholesomeness, that it's mufuzar and mufurad, that's sad and depressed, that it's shari below simcha, but there's another way to look at a half shekel. The half shekel is the reminder that a person actually should always be besimcha. What did Rav Chaim Vital tell us the opposite of afar is? Hasimcha tadiris b'chalko, always being happy with your chelek. What's the most beautiful lesson, the most simplistic and beautiful lesson of the half shekel? This Shabbos, Parsha Shkal. What's the most simple and beautiful lesson of the half shekel? It's the pasuk in the final source. Ha'ashir lo yarbe, vada lo yamit, mimachsis ha'shekel. Whether you're rich, whether you're poor, everyone brings the same half shekel. Everyone brings the same half shekel. Hasimcha tadiris b'chalko, being happy with your chelek, not feeling stuck. And that's what Haman realizes. Haman realizes, as much as the Jews for a moment seem to be scattered, and the Jews seem to be broken apart, and I seem to have captured their simcha, so much so that the pasuk says that Haman was sameach v'tov lev, which Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev, the great defender of the Jewish people, writes in his sefer, is a phrase that is unfathomable that such a Rasha should be able to have simcha v'tov lev. But how quickly things turn, and Haman realizes now that even the broken Jews are very wholesome. And that the Jewish people are actually united even when we look to be pulled apart. And the half shekel represents that the Ashir does his part, and the Ani does his part, and each person is Samech B'chalko. Whether I'm an Ashir with my wealth, whether I'm an Ashir with my connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, each person, I'm a Jew, and I have what to be happy about. And I'm not going to let Haman destroy us just because he chooses to do so. Again, shekel is Gematria Nefesh 430. 430, we said earlier, was the gematria of Tohu plus Bohu. That the Jewish people went to Mitzrayim for 430 years. And in Mitzrayim, they looked like broken, sad, depressed Jews who were mamish in the dirt. In the dirt of Paro, Osios Ha'afar. The one who made us sad. The one who told us we're lazy. But we emerge from that. We come out of Mitzrayim, energized. We get the Torah. Ki heim chayenu v'orech yameinu. And therefore, a Jew comes out of Mitzrayim with his matzah, his rizus. Again, energized. Simcha. And that's what Rashi says. When Mishnichnas Adar, we're entering into days of Simcha. We're entering into days of Zrizus. We're taking that half shekel that we're gonna acknowledge this Shabbos. And we're gonna say, don't read a half shekel as a broken thing. Read a half shekel as Ha'ashir lo yarbe, Vada lo yamid mimachsis ha'shekel. Each one does his part and lifts up the world. So Mirtza Hashem, again, the bracha that we give ourselves every Friday night. Isnari me'afar kumi. We ask Yerushalayim to shake off its dust. We ask the world to shake off its dust, to emerge again from that unrefined state of tov avo. We say to ourselves, a half a shekel is also a chashuv thing. It's beloved in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We pick ourselves up, we put a smile on our face, and we march forward towards the Gula Shlema, which Amir Tashem will be Zocha to see. B'mehera B'yamim.